Tenna. Four Chicago artists who play Gaelic music, but it's fused to so many other streams. There's improvisation, there's jazz, there's Appalachian, touch of Latin, touch of Eastern. Called New Acoustic, Bal Tenna. Got Noel Rice at the flute, Sean Cleland at the wild fiddle, Gerald Trimble at the cittern, more of this anon, Sean Egan at the piano, Bal Tenna. Tenna. This is the second time round on the large studios WFMT of this group of four extraordinary Chicago artists. That's Noel Rice, who's a collector of Irish lore anyway, at the flute, and Sean Cleland wild with the fiddle, more of that, and Gerald Trimble at the cittern,
yes,
and that special instrument we'll talk about, and Sean Egan at the piano. And I was thinking, it was quite a response last time from the audience, and I was thinking, this music, Gerald Trimble, you were saying, and Sean was too, that this is more than, the bass is Gaelic music, but there are many strings flowing in it that make it something new, really.
Yes, sir, it's definitely fusion. There's a whole movement of music in this country today called New Acoustic Music, which is basically a term that, for want of any other term, that comprises all forms of music that features primarily acoustic instruments. Now, Celtic music is a part of that, But we play the Celtic music, the Irish and the Scots music. We're all, to some degree, trained in the traditional side of it, and yet we take that a bit further, and we add influences from rock and jazz and even classical on the piano. And one of the major points of that is improvisation, which is not done elsewhere.
Yeah, I was thinking, Sean Cladland or Noel, this piece you just played, is that a reel of a sort, the piece we just heard?
There's a bunch of reels in there. Actually, we played, the first one was for effect, we played, the first tune is called Rip the Calico. It's played in a lower key and then just move it up a fifth, give it a little bit of a lift and rise. But generally, it's just three, four reels, and we treat them differently rather than just play them like a Kelly band.
Yeah. In addition to our fusion elements, we also feel we're being true to folk music in that, in Greek music and in Balkan music and in Arabic music and Indian music, there's improvisation that does occur based upon the themes, using the themes or the tunes as departure points. And we're also exploring that as well as introducing different elements into our mix. For clarity, in traditional Irish music, there is a form of improvisation. Basically, it's not first a written music. It's learned by ear and an oral tradition. And the old players would always have their own version of a tune and probably never play it the same way twice. What we do different is that in all American music, whether it's blues, jazz, rock, whatever, that they state the melody and use it as a head, and then the different instruments take improvised solos which go beyond the melody. And that is something that is revolutionary to Celtic music, and that's what we do there.
Yeah.
In the forms of music that Gerald has pointed out, like blues and rock and jazz, they all have their own particular melodic and harmonic idiom, which they use in their improvisations. And what we're trying to do, in large part, is develop an idiom based on Irish melodic and modal usages and Irish, Scottish, Celtic music in general, and try and work with those melodies and those patterns and things, and try and improvise on those, and try and stretch out the melodies.
Let's try. Could we, as an example of that, now just as Sean Egan was talking, and the very fact that a break is taken by the soloist, by a different one, as in a jazz, as in Basie band, say.
Right.
You know, and so, is there something comes to your mind now that...
Sure. We play two jigs. The first one's called The Irishman's Heart for the Ladies, and the second one is the Monahan jig. And do you see what we do? Traditionally, Irish music is not accompanied. It has no chordal structure. It's all linear music. So what we do with the knowledge of chords is find a chordal structure to put behind the tune, which sometimes come from jazz, sometimes from rock. And to that, we find a suitable structure on which to play the improvisation.
that is exciting. I have never heard anything quite like this. It's as though I was listening to a jazz quartet playing Celtic music. And it was. So
that, exactly.
There were the breaks, the solo breaks of Gerald Trimble at the cittern and Sean Cleland at the fiddle and Sean Egan at the piano. And there was a touch of the flute coming in and out. And there was the improvisatory quality throughout. So this was really improvisation, almost, based on the Celtic.
Sure, the Irish themes. It's like stretching it at the seams a bit.
The what?
It's like we think of it as stretching the tunes at the seams a bit, like pulling them a little
bit. You know, we've got to take our first break now. We'll come back to Baltina, ask the meaning of that word, and ask each of you about the instruments, too, the meaning, the role in Celtic music, but also these various influences of this last part of the 20th century that's part of your playing, and where you'll be playing, too, tomorrow night and Thursday night after this message. So resuming with Baltina, with Noel Rice at the flute and Sean Cleland at the fiddle and Gerald Trimble at the cittern, we'll come to that, and Sean Egan at the piano. Baltina. Noel, I know that you are you're the anthropologist of the
group.
Baltina.
Well, what it really means is the fire of Baal, and it, of course, it goes into pre-Christian and into the misty history or legends of the past. One of the things that still today, the month of May is still called Bialtina. It's Baltina in a sense. It's the 1st of May, you know, May Day celebration, of course, all over Europe. But in the Irish end of it, it was always a celebration of Baal. They used to throw flowers on the pathway. Nowadays, of course, you hear it as in honor of the Blessed Virgin. Of course, in times past, it was other
so
reasons.
So Baal is this is pre-Christian.
Right.
Now, I'm thinking about Baal, the sun god. Is that it?
Right.
Fire god.
Fire god.
It's more dramatic than sun god.
I'd make even a better connection for you. You love connections, but the story, you may have heard of the legend of St. Patrick coming to Ireland, etc. And he needed an audience with the king and couldn't get one, so he lighted the fire and slain. In the normal course of teaching the kids, I never did learn about why this was such a big deal, like lighting the fire, except that when you read a little further, you find that that was the eve, that was like May Eve, when they lighted large bonfires. The first and sacred fire was lighted on Hoth Head, which could be seen from Tara. And, of course, then they waited for the sacred fire to be lighted. And then, of course, it could be lighted across the country. Patrick, of course, needing to get his edge in and an audience, lighted the fire on Slane, which could be seen also from Tara, and, of course, created sacrilege, and, of course, was immediately brought in front of the king. And that's how we wound up with our kind of pagan Christianity in Ireland.
The music is, as the audience can gather, is tremendously exciting, and the forms it takes too. Playing tomorrow night, where you were at Kilkenny Castle Inn, that's at 3808 North Central. That's tomorrow night, Wednesday night, playing there, and Thursday night at Fitzgerald's in Berwyn. That's been specializing on folk music of all cultures at 6615 Roosevelt Road. So tomorrow night at Kilkenny Castle Inn and Thursday night at Berwyn at Fitzgerald's. The instruments, Sean Cleland, the fiddle and Irish and Celtic.
Well, history. My personal history with the fiddle, I began classical lessons when I was in the second grade.
In Chicago,
in the public school system, my first teacher, and my teacher for most of my actual classical training was a man named Samuel Barbakoff. Great old guy, taught hundreds and hundreds of Chicago area students the fiddle, and he taught me the basics and carried me on further. And then I went to Lane Tech, and while there I played in the orchestra and I was a music major. Somewhere around 3 or 4 years after I started playing the violin, I became interested in more of my heritage, Irish music, Clancy Brothers, and that sort of thing. And somehow, because of a mutual friend, I met Noel. And over a period of several years, he turned me on to things like the Chieftains. The Chieftains being the first group that I got excited about. The way they used the fiddles and the flutes and the Uilleann pipes, and the way they created textures and stories, and yet they were so full of spirit and life. And I kind of, without really knowing what I was getting into, I kind of drifted and became a fanatic about this stuff. Went to Ireland a number of times, learned a lot of tunes from records and from traditional musicians, a lot from Noel, guiding my development.
But the fiddle itself in Celtic music has always been there, hasn't it?
I think the arrival of the fiddle, an Irish thing, is, I think it came in with that great flood of Italian music swept Europe, and of course the all cultured households had to have string instruments. And so in an interesting comment from Arthur O'Neill, who was interviewed by Bunting in 1792, he was an older man at the time, and he talked about, and he was a young man traveling through the countryside as an itinerant harper. He used to, and relayed about how in certain houses he used to mention the instruments they had, and the young ladies of the house, the cultured young ladies, used to play these instruments.
So that became, that's
so
interesting.
So then it crosses the line, you see, from the big house into the
countryside. Not unlike early America.
Exactly.
In certain of the households that had a bit of dough then, it was something of status to have a string instrument or a piano in the parlor, too.
And that's also, I suppose you could say, the marking point where the decline, the real decline of Irish harping as the premier instrument in the manor houses or the big houses, because now, of course, how could a single harp, small harp, compete with a quartet playing a variety of melodies? It's just impossible. It couldn't be done.
And the flute that you play, Noel, how did the flute figure in?
Well, I think that the flute came in around the same time the into Ireland. I'd say that principally in the late 1600s, early 1700s. But I think where the popularity of the flute in the Irish traditional end of it, I think I, from all I can find out and talk to experts in this, is that the temperance bands who came around in Ireland and the countrysides, and I mean far out in the countrysides, to try and protect these poor people from having a good time and have them play music instead of telling stories and drinking, you see. I'm not sure where the benefit is.
Well, I suppose that was Ireland sober as Ireland free.
Oh, something like that, yeah. So anyway, the lads in the countryside, they got a hold of all these flutes, and of course, naturally, apart from playing these marches up and down the streets, they turned them to playing the traditional melodies that were so familiar to them. And of course, we wind up with the traditional flute.
Yeah. Now, we come to a rather interesting, the cittern. Now, the one that Jerry Trimble has there, that cittern, I think a sitar of India, you think of a variety of other, it's a combination, isn't it?
Well, it is. In the Middle Ages, there was an instrument called a cittern, and it probably was pretty popular for several hundred years. Eventually, it died out when the guitar became popular, but this has its roots there. It's not a medieval cittern, but the name was given to it because it has its roots there. The first cittern was invented by a man named Stephen Sobel, who lives in the north of England, and it came upon a wave of different long-neck double-string instruments which were brought into Celtic music after Johnny Moynihan used a Greek bouzouki in 1964.
Well, bouzouki was also in
yes, sir. It's become in most circles, an accepted instrument in traditional music in the last 20 years. And Greek bouzoukis, some aspects of their design make them not as perfect for Celtic music. So various luthiers have developed their own designs based on a Greek bouzouki, but they call them things like Irish bouzouki. Mm. And that, to me, that doesn't really fit.
You always think of bouzouki as Greek.
Well, this is it. It's a viable instrument in the Greek and Macedonian traditions. But the bouzouki was brought into Celtic music with great success, and various luthiers made their own versions. The one of the standouts of which is Stephen Sobel, who coined the term cittern as an alternative to Irish bouzouki.
So you know, as we're talking, Sean Egan, the piano. How the piano also figure in certain middle class, upper class Irish households way back? I was curious.
Well, you remember the stories of Thomas Moore. I don't know if you know about Thomas Moore in the middle 1800s. Felt very strongly that a lot of the Irish melodies that were being lost are because of people being punched down by the, the story of Irish history. But he would arrange and put new words to the songs. As a matter of fact, he did 200 of songs, and sometimes he's much maligned today. But in his time, he spread more Irish tunes and Irish songs, of course, his words, all over the place, and it became a standard fare, a piano in the drawing room playing Thomas Moore's songs.
And so there's Sean. How did you come to piano and Gaelic music, or Celtic music?
I first started listening to Celtic music when I was a small child, but I was listening to, like, singers in, like, the Clancy Brothers style, things like that when I was just a kid. And I listened to that pretty extensively for a while, but then I left off. And I started studying piano when I was in about 6th or 7th grade or something like that. And I was also playing clarinet at the same time. And I continued playing clarinet, but I stopped playing piano and taking piano lessons for a while. So then I I met Balotina one night after I continued playing the clarinet, and I went to DePaul University to study the clarinet and music in general. And while in Chicago, I attended a concert which had been put on by Balotina. I think it was...
Joan Antoinette McKenna.
Yeah, that's right. Joan Antoinette McKenna. So nice, he was a harpist and a piper. Well, anyway, I expressed an interest in Irish music, and they expressed an interest in having other people play with them.
So,
and so they originally, I was with the cellist at the time, and they really wanted the cellist. So they, I kind of went along for the ride. But then they found out that I could play piano as well, and they also really wanted a pianist.
Now the cellist was a very good-looking girl and very talented as well.
So I was thinking, as we hear the basses of the instruments and the connection to Celtic, and earlier we heard how different influences are at work, jazz certainly, improvisation, and other strains. Earlier, Noel, you were talking about the various influences in Ireland, the people who came there, the invasions and every other aspect, of course. It left an impression musically, too. What is an example now, for instance, at this moment?
Okay, well, you're talking about the jazz stuff. As I said, the citron is now made by several different makers and accepted as an instrument in Celtic music. And my whole idea with the thing is to take it beyond the tunes itself and compose for it and play music, which is often Irish influenced, but is music in its own right for the citron. You'll find it on that new album there.
And well, there's an album, by the way, Gerald has with his colleague, in this case, one of us, Brian Tarr from Marvelous Bassman.
He's a monster.
It's called Cross Currents, and these are the various Gaelic tunes with the influences, the maverick influences we're talking about.
Outlaw.
You're a maverick. You're a maverick group. Really.
Yeah, right. Right.
Well, what are we going to hear now?
This is a cut from the album. Obviously, on the album, it does have Brian's bass playing and a full band behind it. This is a solo version, but it's a tune called Shifting Paradigms. It's an original, and it features the melody and some improvisation.
Thank you.
first time I ever heard a cittern solo. And I know that great deal of jazz there, too. I suppose there's bass there, maybe Celtic somewhere in it. Let's take a break. We'll continue with more of the music from Bal Tenna. Hear more of the flute of Noel Rice and the fiddle of Sean Cleland and the piano of Sean Egan, too. To remind the audience that Bal Tenna, this incredibly exciting group of musicians, is playing tomorrow night at the Kilkenny Castle Inn, where you played once before, I know. Kilkenny Inn. That's at 3808 North Central. You'll be starting about 8 around there.
About 8:30.
8:30. That's tomorrow night. And Thursday night is Fitzgerald's.
We're really excited about that. That's our first time there.
Yeah, in Berwyn. Right. That's at 6615 Roosevelt Road. And both sessions are pretty exciting. Let's take this a second break and we'll resume with more music from Bal Tenna. And so resuming with Bal Tenna, we heard Gerald Trimble in that wild cittern solo improvisation. Otherwise, that's from the album of yours called Cross Currents. Green Linnet is the label of it.
Yes, sir.
Okay, so that's it. I got that. that's in the stores, I'm sure.
Yes, it's just out a month. It's my third album, and definitely the most adventurous. And it's just out, so it's still a little hard to get in the stores. But we hope people will pick up.
Green Linnet is the label. And Noel, the flute. We haven't heard the flute other than an ensemble work here. A word about that, or what have you in mind right now?
I could play a slow tune, an air. That's Carolyn's Farewell to Music.
You said an air. Now, as you play, I know there's a haunting quality to your flute, too. This is often played when in quiet songs, is that it?
Mm-hmm.
Or mournful songs. What's
well,
the air?
It's an attempt to try and capture some of the melodies, like the song-type tunes. This particular one is from harp playing. It was written by... I suppose composed, hardly written, but composed by a fellow named O'Carolan. He died a short time ago, 1738.
The flute often used, like I suppose the harp in a sense too, the harp and accompanying the singer. We haven't talked about the vocals, but perhaps come to, I know that Gerald sings. So that's the fiddle. Now when we say the fiddle, we also think of American Appalachian music and, you know, in the wild music of various cultures. And so in Irish musical history, the fiddle's always figured too. The harp we know.
It's a very prominent instrument, especially in the last 200 years, especially in the as the reels and jigs playing began more to be more solidified in the, say, middle 1800s, the fiddle gained a certain dominance at that point. Appalachian music, as we know, comes from Scots and Irish tunes. And that's also one of the things that we've done in our band is we've traced some of these tunes, and we found tunes that are the same and called different names or variations. But a lot of the Appalachian music comes from Scottish music. And there's a tune that Noel found for me a few years ago. We play some Scottish music. It's called Lady Lyle. It's a strathspey, but in the O'Neill book...
What's a strathspey? I'm sorry,
Strathspey is a Scottish dance. It's peculiarly Scottish, although it's known in Northern Ireland because of the Scottish influence. It's like a reel. All Irish and Scottish tunes, basically, if they're reels, jigs, hornpipes, or strathspeys, have two or more parts of eight bars each repeated. And a strathspey is like a reel in that it's 2/4 time, but it's slower than a reel, and it's very staccato. It has a lot of what you call dotted notes, so you get a sound like da-da. You know, you hit one note short and one note long. And it originates in the northeast of Scotland. There's the River Spey, from which the water for all your whiskey comes.
Strathspey.
And so strathspeys originated in the northeast of Scotland. Mm. And there are two types. There's a fiddle strathspey and a piping strathspey.
And this is a fiddle strathspey.
This is a fiddle strathspey that we actually found with an Irish name, or that Noel found, called Paddy Stacks Fling, I think it was. Paddy Stack Dine, a fiddle player from Kerry, born sometime in the 1850s, died in Chicago, and had a lot of his music, very peculiar sorts of music, jotted down by the great collector of Irish music, Francis O'Neill. So we found this tune and then heard the Scottish version, so I'll attempt to do a kind of mixture of the two.
I'm thinking, as you hear the fiddle of Sean Cullen, Noel, name O'Neill, I know the number of O'Neills in it. Wasn't there a Captain O'Neill, a police captain, came to Chicago?
Oh, yes, very prominent. He was police chief here in Chicago, appointed by Mayor Harrison in 1901, I think it was 1905, and he retired from...
And he brought with him a lot of...
Oh, yes. There's such a large large population of Irish in the town at that time coming in from having done the railroads or the canal and whatnot into Chicago and then working on the railroad. And he would chase them down here, there, and everywhere, picking up bits and pieces of tunes and working with his associate, James O'Neill, who was no relation, but to get them written down. He did a fantastic job. As a matter of fact, I recall growing up that when they used to talk about tunes and kind of as an authentication would say, it's in the book, meaning O'Neill's book. Mm. It's in the book.
Yeah. Well, what have we got here? We haven't heard. Is there a piano, Sean Egan? I know you know the piano, but is there something, the piano and Celtic music, is there a case in point that you can demonstrate in a solo fashion? Now you're part of the ensemble, I know.
There's a little thing that we were trying, but I don't know if we wanted to try that today. We discussed
what?
The Cliffs of Moherson.
Right. The jig.
Oh,
just the jig. This is straight an improv set in
improvisation.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's a marvelous ad-lib. I know you were ad-libbing there, and that's quite beautiful. You were put to the test. Well, we're talking to Baltina. We'll take our last break now. And Balta, the group of Noah Rice at the flute, and Sean Cleland at the fiddle, the violin, and Gerald Trimble at that quite remarkable cittern there, and the album of his Cross Currents, Green Linnet, that's available, all sorts of work on it, and Sean Egan at the piano, coming through. And that's to remind the audience, tomorrow night, playing at the Kilkenny Castle Inn, and that's at 3808 North Central, and the day after tomorrow night, Thursday night, at Fitzgerald's, at 6615 Roosevelt Road in Berwyn. And after this last break, perhaps even, we haven't had a vocal from Gerald Trimble, and more of your ensemble work of Baltina. And so for the last lap, we've heard the various instruments that work part of the history of it as far as Celtic music, the fusion that Gerald's talked about, and you've all talked about influences. What is a piece comes to mind now?
Well, you heard Sean talking earlier about the direct connection between American and Appalachian music and the Celtic. Well, that is really true, and my home area is Missouri, and there's an area in southern Missouri and northern Arkansas called the Ozarks, and they're the oldest mountains in the country. The people down there up until the end of the war, and even still to some degree, are very isolated and rural, and a lot of the immigrants there have songs that are deeply intact from the original songs from the old country, whether it be England, Ireland, Scotland, or Wales. I'm going to sing one of those collected by a friend of mine named Julie Hennigan. This is on the album Cross Currents as well. And this, people who are fans of Celtic and British music will know this song as Farewell, My Lovely Nancy, one of many different songs about a fellow leaving his girl to go to sea. Now, this one is from the Ozarks. It's an Ozarks version, which is interesting because there's no sea down there. There's just the Lake of the Ozarks. But it was obviously moved from Ireland. As a matter of fact, the old woman that my friend got this song from said that her grandfather brought it from Ireland, and it's called Adieu, My Lovely Nancy.
and stories I will tell to you, how we plowed the oceans whole, and we'll make field houses to ring, and the tavers they will roll. And when our money it is all gone, sure we'll go to sea for more.
Listening to that, you know, haunting song, the connection there. I remember Cecil Sharp did that collection of. He's the Englishman who came to America, and he found the songs more alive in the Appalachia.
Yes, sir.
And in the Ozarks too. Later, he was Appalachia, then in Ireland and Scotland. He was following up on Francis Childs, Harvard guy discovering. So here's a perfect case in point. What's a couple? We've got to have a couple of ensemble works, the works of Baltina, before the hour goes. So what have we in mind? Yes, sir.
Well, we were thinking we have a set that features improvisation by all of us. We call it Mr. Webster. Begins with a stress bay called Mr. Webster and carries into a reel Jimmy's Return.
Sorry?
Then it carries into a reel called Jimmy's Return.
Yeah.
And then into...
And then the last reel, the Yellow Tinker.
On Tinker of Wee.
I never knew the name of that first reel.
Really?
Mr. Webster.
Mr. Turn. Yeah.
All right.